Hey everybody, Jay Schlansky here from the Fifth Trooper Network. I just want to take a moment to thank you for checking out this show. Did you know that over at thefifthtrooper.com we have tons of other content, including blogs, other podcasts, all kinds of stuff. In addition, if you want access to exclusive content, you can join us on patreon.com/thefifthtrooper and join at any level and you'll get access to exclusive blog articles, access to our private Discord, and much more. So please check us out and thank you so much for all your support.
Welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels, a Star Wars Legion podcast bringing you the latest news, general perspective, and competitive discussion.
Hello, and welcome back to the Notorious Scoundrels podcast. My name's Mike. I am here with Mike and Tim. How you guys doing today?
Doing. Christmas Eve.
It is Christmas Eve. It is, yeah. Just for our viewers at home, it is 8 p.m. On the East Coast, Christmas Eve, and the Notorious Scoundrels are here, and we're recording live, so yeah.
And I'm hopping on a plane in 9 hours or so.
Where are you? Are you hopping on a plane in 9 hours for Christmas festivities or?
No, our family is split up across the country for this year. We did our Christmas yesterday. And now me and my father are going out to Newfoundland to play music and have some beverages.
Okay. All right. Having beverages is always a good pastime.
So. I just had some beverages to escape my family. So we're in a similar boat.
Excellent. So today we are going to be talking about a couple things. First, I think we were going to maybe talk about the other thing first, but I think I want to talk about the world's format first. Since I don't know if it has been talked about on Scoundrels to date yet, because I have been away for about a month. But we'll be getting a live look on our feelings on the world's format. And then we're going to kind of do like a year in review aspirational goal thing. If we have, if the world's format thing doesn't take an hour, which maybe it will, we'll see. So I guess let's just kick right into it. I think I was somewhere in the Californian wilderness, when I got direct messages from at least half a dozen people saying that the world's format had been released and set in the wild. One of you want to take us through what that is?
Yeah, so basically it's an X and O format. It's going to be a three-day event similar to last year. Mm-hmm. But dissimilar to last year. Only undefeated, aka top 32 players from day one will advance to day two, and only the top four from day two will advance to day three. Which means realistically, if you would like to win worlds or advance the days, you need to go undefeated, because they're planning for 256 players, and to get through as 256 to day two, you have to go 4-0 to get to top 32.
So it should be noted that we're playing 4 game days.
Yes.
In addition to, like, it's not the 3-game X and O day.
For day one, at least.
Yeah, for a little bit of background, and correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, because that weekend was kind of hazy. last Worlds was 3 rounds day one. Well, first there was the LCQ, which I think, you know, took...
Which we still have this year.
Which is still there this year. There was some cut from the LCQ into the tournament. I don't know how many people ended up making it. I do think X and Ones from the LCQ ended up making it last year, but I could be wrong about that.
They filled out the bracket with the LCQ. So
right.
It was the top 20. Was, 15,
I think it ended up being like top 20? 17.
Yeah.
Made it from LCQ to Worlds.
It was significant, I guess, is really what I'm trying to say. And then day one of actual Worlds was 3 rounds. There was a cut at the end of the day, and it cut to everyone that was X and one. So if you lost two games, you were out of the tournament on day one.
You also were out of the tournament day one if you drew, which is going to be the same thing this year.
Which is notable, because draws, I guess, technically the rules are still the same, but the, I think, likelihood of a draw is significantly higher, at least as the rules stand presently. I'm maybe this is me being optimistic or negative, I don't know which, but I sort of suspect we may get clarification on additional draw rulings before Adepticon.
We kind of already have.
Okay.
You will need to be 3 wins, 0 losses to be considered for round 4. Like, you, if you draw, it's the equivalent of both players losing, which is the same as last year.
Okay.
So do not draw if you want to keep playing day one.
Noted. Good to know, everyone playing 800 point lists. So I think, I guess to continue that, day two, also you have to go X and O, and we're cutting to top 4 for day 3, which I think is like a little bit of a weird departure. I don't know why we're not cutting to top 8 at the end of day 2.
Similar to PAX, Adepticon has a pretty tight Sunday schedule compared to the other days.
Okay.
And getting the third round in last year was actually pretty difficult time-wise to get everything cleaned up. So they're doing top 4 again to make the days a little bit more clear cut, and then just to make sure that everybody can get out on time.
Gotcha.
Well, we did top 4 on Sunday last year, right?
Is that what I don't, again,
because the top eight game was the fourth round shadow round on the Saturday night.
Was it?
No. Yeah.
So that, like, because that's where I lost, was top 8 game, which was the last game of Saturday, and then the top 4. So they only played 2 games. It was the 2 semifinals and then the final Sunday. So that's the same as Sunday.
The shadow round was a cut, though, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, we had cut to top 8 after the 3 rounds on Saturday.
I was like, I don't remember playing a game after I lost. I think we cut. I don't know. Like, yes, I barely missed top 8. Okay, yeah. So that was last year, and kind of what they're gonna do this year. So, look, I guess there's also a bunch of side events that I'm like not totally aware of. Do you guys have any more information on those?
Yeah, so there's a Swiss event, same day as LCQ.
Okay.
For players that are not in the LCQ, it's just it doesn't have a ticket on the line. I believe it's a 32-person event. It's just essentially a play Legion tournament for a day.
Okay.
There are 2 specific doubles events. And I believe there's 1 other event as well. But there's essentially 4. There's a side Legion event for every day that the actual Worlds tournament is going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of, yeah.
Which, you do need to purchase a ticket for each side event, including the 2 doubles events. They are separate doubles events.
Yeah. Okay. The 1 other side event that is additional this year for sure, though, is that they are running a not LCQ, but a Legion tournament congruently with the LCQ on Thursday. So for people who want to be there a day early, get a, I think it's 3 rounds tournament in, sort of warm up. There's an official way to do that this year, which I think is which is better than last year, where, I mean, we were able to play just on the tables, which was great, and people did that. But there was sort of this weird thing, like, people who want to be playing tournaments, there was no other tournament other than LCQ to play in.
Yeah,
that's the Swiss event I was talking about there. It's a completely separate event from LCQ, but still a Legion tournament on the day of.
Yeah.
So I guess my initial take here is that this format is just strictly worse than what we had last year.
Agreed.
Agreed.
I really am a fan of the X and One kind of formats for cut situations, just because we do play a game without sideboards and without mulligans and without things like that. Like, sometimes you do run into a hard counter, and I think it's reasonable to be able to drop a game and make top eight. That's not what's going to be happening here. It sounds to me like you got to be 6-0 to make top eight and 7-0 to make day three, basically the top four.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and even for me, importantly, you got to be 4-0 to make day two.
Yes. Yes.
Which is like the end goal of getting X and O for top eight or whatever, honestly, doesn't hurt me mentally as much as the you got to win four games to even play in the second day.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of what it comes down to for me, too. I mean, like, I'm still probably going to go. but I'm not a huge fan of signing up for, like as someone who is my goal going to Worlds is to win the tournament, right? And that's not going to be the same for everybody, but I do think that, like, for the three of us on this podcast, I think we all can probably say that that's, like, we're going because we would like to win the tournament, right?
Yes.
And the idea that you... So if we're going with that in mind, that means you have to book a flight in a hotel for at least 3 days. And there is a chance that you're only going to play one of the 3 days that you are basically bookending your trip with.
There's a chance you play one game, really.
If you lose game one, it's over.
Yeah. Yes.
And on top of the, all of us sort of are in the running and also like would like to win the tournament. I think all of us are also sort of on ourselves expect to make day two.
Yep.
And all of us at in a X and one event are pretty comfortable making it day two.
Yep. Yeah.
But a 4-0, like we're all, that's a big challenge. Even for the best players to go 4-0 on day one.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's notable that like this is not going 4-0 at a local. This is not going 4-0 at like Nova or LVO. In my opinion, this is very different. This is going 4-0 against basically the best players in the world. There will be people here from, you know, places in Europe and Australia and, you know, Asia Pacific and all these other places around the world that, you know, I can't even, I mean, like, we're pretty close geographically to Chicago. In comparison to some of those places. So, like, good on you guys if you're flying out and doing that for the potential of, like, just dropping a single game and it being done and over. But I do think, you know, the format last year, I would even consider the format last year wasn't ideal, but it was definitely
I mean, Luke dropped one of his games day one, right?
I dropped one of my games.
He did not.
I think Luke went X.
Okay. Luke actually went X and O.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I got super lucky and avoided all of the Dark Troopers in the middle of their meta.
Yeah.
I don't call him
Luck Cook for nothing.
But so maybe not him, but there were definitely good players. Like, I mean, all of us dropped a game day one.
Yes.
And like all of our, like, anyway, good players drop games day one, and it happens. And for that to be the end of your tournament run would feel not great. Whereas at least with the old format, you at least had two competitive games, and all, which would still suck to lose two in a row, but everyone got two games, so they were still mentally in the running.
Yeah, you're kind of mentally checked out if you lose game one at this stage. Yeah,
my big point that I made when we talked about it on my podcast is that for the people that travel from out of the country, you're spending potentially $3,000 American to play against your buddy from the local store. We had four German mirror matches in the first two rounds, first round last year at Worlds.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. If you have four German mirror matches, you just paid $3,000 to go play your buddy that you could play at the local shop or at the club. And one of you is not advancing, and you have no chance to come back from that.
Yeah.
And I mean, that sucks. It does suck. That's terrible.
It's not great. I mean, there's going to be a lot of team kills on day one, like no matter what. Like I just, we all know each other, like it is, it's not gonna feel good. And I just, like, I think last year I was able to like really feel some camaraderie with a lot of people, and it felt really awesome and really good. And I feel like part of that was like, you know, there was some tension, but there was also some, like, you kind of felt like, you know, if you like lost day two, like at least, I mean, you're in the top 32, top 16, like you're making your way. But it feels like there's just going to be a lot less people there on day two this year.
I mean, 224 people are eliminated after day one.
Yeah.
Out of 256.
Which, so I guess,
I mean,
go ahead, Tim.
128 are eliminated after one game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll throw it out there. One of the things that I publicly said is, it is Worlds. You know, if you want to win, you have to win it all. So be the best, which is cool. We'll adapt to it. We'll play to it. But I'm disappointed that somebody, and I don't know who it is, has made the decision that we're going to prioritize playing multiple events on the same day versus giving the players that have qualified and still need to purchase tickets to get into this event and purchase travel to get to this event that you're awarded tickets to play their games. Like if we're planning for 128 tables, plan for those tables to be used for the people that are here for the competitive event.
Yep.
We have enough conventions throughout the year that if you want to go play doubles, if you want to go play a casual non-competitive, I shouldn't say non-competitive, non-stakes.
No. You can say non-competitive. I want to be like...
Yeah, okay. I don't think non-competitive is the word, because I'm sure there's going to be really good players playing in the Swiss event, but there's no stakes. If you're going to play an event that has no stakes, if you're going to play doubles, go play at another convention. Like, this is Worlds. Prioritize the tables for the players that have qualified to get here. And I'm not blaming the TO, because Griffin is the TO. I'll just be blunt. John Griffin does a great job. He did a great job last year. I'm sure he'll do a great job this year at making the tournament run. I know it is not his fault for how, you know, the event has been planned out, how the tables have been laid out, but whoever has made the decision, prioritize the world's level championship. This is why we're here. The players are not flying from Germany to play in an event because they want to have fun with their friends. They're flying from Germany to Chicago because they want to win the world championship. Yeah. That's the focus. Make that the focus.
I also think, like, in a lot of, to make like a sport magic, whatever other like kind of like competitive analogies and stuff for like Worlds, like in a lot of these like high tier, high profile events, people are not like going X and O throughout the tournament. Like, that's not like a requirement, you know? Like if you're playing in the World Cup, right? Like, you go through like a round robin stage, yeah. Right? And like, you know, do a couple teams go X and O in the round robin stage? But sure.
Yeah,
but
they like get the cupcake groups.
Yeah, most of them are like going like three and, I don't know, they're generally groups of four, right? It's like two and one, yeah, or one and two, or, you know, but like that's like a pretty accepted format for events like this. And like that's like the round robin format in those is kind of like day one, right? Like that's like what those things are. You know, if you look at like the Magic World Championships and stuff, like I've seen those tournaments where the winner of the tournament, like during the like Swiss stage, went like 7-4.
So, you know? did you watch the Magic Championships this year?
I haven't watched it a ton lately.
I followed it pretty religiously this year. Yeah. The 6 through 8 seedings were legitimately X and two players, and it all mattered on tiebreakers. Like, the majority of the X and two players had a chance to advance. And this was day three. And they're playing best of three formats, not best of one.
Yeah.
Like, I do not understand why in a game that is dice dependent, you have no chance to come back from a cold dice game.
Yeah. I mean, that's fundamental.
Which is what it comes down to. You can be the better player, you can outplay your opponent, and your dice can be cold for a game. And sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. And your opponent has really hot dice and you just have average dice and your tournament's over and you just drop $3,000 on it and your hotel's not refunding it. I don't know. That's bullshit to me.
Hey, we said no swearing today.
Yeah, I'm not going past there. That's a 12-year-old curse word, Sarah.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
But I think you're right. We will play through it. You know, this is not foreign to us, but I do think I'd like to see this start changing sometime. It's clearly not going to be this year, but hopefully next year.
Yeah. I mean, you also say we'll play through it. Some people won't.
When I say play through it, I mean most of us are still going to go. Most of us are still going to try. This is not a oh man, the format sucks, so we're not going to play Legion. This is the format sucks. We're still going to put our dudes on the table. We're still going to roll the dice and, you know, push through. But
I mean, for me, like, I'm a student. This is right in the middle of the term. This is like every year the cost benefit analysis has to be made. And this is one thing that goes a little bit against, right? And whether I go to Worlds is actually kind of on my Federation now just because of time and stuff. So this is sort of one thing that I'd be pushing me not to go, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, I would feel less bad about this, I think. No, I wouldn't. I was going to say, like, if like, the doubles tournament was just, like a, yeah, I don't know. What do we call them? There's a word for it that's escaping me right now. It's like a comeback tournament.
Like a redemption?
Redemption bracket. And I was like, nah, that wouldn't make me feel better about it. I mean, I do think that would be better than having a two-headed or doubles tournament. I don't know what we're doing there. Doubles isn't a real format. I don't, it's...
A like, basically double elimination setup where the people who are X and O advance to one tournament and the people who are, like, X and one advance to a different one is a legitimate way you can set these kind of things up. Yeah. But it's not.
I mean, I just did it for Invader. We had a full-on secondary bracket where even if you did not make the top cut, you play for your own prize. Is it the World Championship? Not at all. Are you Invader League champion? Not at all. Do you have a chance to compete for it? Hey, you don't.
Some
of us are. It's exactly one of you. But like if you make it to the second bracket, like you still have something to play for and you have a title that you can play for and you have a small prize that you can play for. It gives you an incentive. And I think even if the doubles bracket were the same bracket across 2 days, like even at that point, like you have something to play for.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a 4-round tournament, like 4-0 in doubles is pretty tough to do. So it wouldn't feel terrible to say like, hey, I won the doubles tournament. But it's two different tournaments. Like, why am I going to play two-round tournaments?
And
as a competitive player.
Yes.
And that's what Adepticon attracts.
I think, so part of me, I think, kind of like to talk about that a little bit. I'm feeling like they're just trying to get more people to go to Adepticon by doing it this way. And the reason I say that is... Look, I don't know everybody that's playing in Worlds, but I feel like I got a pretty good pulse on the world-going community in general. I think I can say with a high degree of confidence that at least half of them have no interest in playing doubles at all whatsoever, pretty much ever.
I think that's correct.
And I don't say that to be mean or anything like that, but like... I don't know why we're devoting like 75 to 80% of the tables to doubles to two of the three main days of the tournament.
You'd have to talk to AMG about that.
Yeah. Anyhow, I feel like I'm getting a little too negative here. So why don't you, somebody rescue me? Sounds like it's falling to you, Tim. Go ahead.
The extra tournament on the Thursday is a good idea.
I agree.
If you want to inject some positivity, I think that's a great idea. One of the few negative things about Worlds last year is that there were some players that played in the LCQ, despite that we were asked not to play if you had a ticket, that had a ticket.
Yeah.
And this year we have an event to play for. If you want to show up early, if you want to play Legion, you can play an event that does not affect the players actively trying to qualify. Like, that's great. Yeah. I think that is a fantastic idea. I'm pretty sure it's capped at like 32 for the side event, which is a good decision. But like, if you just have a 32-person three-round tournament that does not affect qualifying, it lets everybody that doesn't have an invite give their final shot. That's a phenomenal idea. And like, why don't we just continue that into the other days?
Yeah.
Like, we already have a precedent. I don't know. I think that's a great decision that just unfortunately got stopped after day one.
Yep.
The other thing that I'm concerned about, which is not, I guess this is still kind of negative, but it's going to affect the meta.
Mm-hmm.
I think you will see way more SKU lists coming to Worlds than you would have otherwise if you have to go X and O. Because if you have to go X and O, you need to make your opponent play your game. And there is no better list in Legion than making your opponent play your game than a SKU list. And if this is triple Wookiee, that's a thing. If it's, or I'm sorry, like six Wookiee, that's a thing. If you're talking like full suppressive line BX force, that's a thing. But you're going to see a very different meta versus someone who's going to play an all-rounder knowing that I can lose a game and still advance. But if I need to win every single game, I have to make it my advantage every single time.
Yeah, I am. It definitely, I mean, I think it changes. I don't think it's like that big a deal, and I'm not sure it even should be. I agree with you that like it does affect the meta for sure. We talk maybe not enough about the difference in the lists that you bring when you can go X and one and when you have to go X and O. I think for most people, like that shouldn't change, but I think if you're like well in tune enough with like multiple lists and archetypes and stuff, you can, it really shifts what you're doing and what you're thinking about. Like, you know.
Do you want me to give an example so that it's not abstract?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Go for it.
So, you're a Gar player. I think I'm a Gar player at this point as well. You could make a valid, argument that a Gar Jedi gunline is the meta list at this point, whether that's Yoda, whether that's Anakin, who cares?
Sure.
But let's say Gar gunline with a Jedi, you know, you're going to play mirrors. A lot of those mirrors are dice dependent.
Yep.
And if you have two players of equal skill playing against each other, who's ever Echo throws the double crit first, or who's ever squad blanks 4 out of 5 first, is going to lose that game. And when you can't afford to come back from that, it makes it tougher. So I think there's going to be a large number of players, myself included, who are looking at, instead of playing the mirror 3 times day one, how do I come up with something that is strong against the mirror, but not necessarily weak to everything else? Like, I'm looking at Han and Op Luke.
Yep.
Because I think Jedi Luke counters Yoda decently well. You know, he's still a good list that can handle most things. He's disadvantaged against some other stuff that Gar gunlines aren't. But it gives you a chance that you can play against the meta without having to rely on a mirror dice off every time. And if you look at, you mentioned earlier, we don't have sideboards. We talked about the magic event that you can go X and two. You can alter your deck after every round. You can't do that here. Once you submit your list, you're done. And that's why I think that you're going to see a different meta come up, because I keep harking back to my podcast. But last episode, we had Richard Lavery and Chris Lewis come on, who played the Ewok and the Wookiee Battle Forces. I think those are two exceptional lists for Worlds because they force you to play their game. And I think you'll see way more of that because you don't want to rely on who wins the red dice off for a Yoda mirror or who wins the red dice off for a Gar mirror with Anakin.
You're often also putting people in situations they may never have been in before with those lists, right? Like, yep. Like 14 activation Ewoks is not something you play against every day. So when it comes time to actually play against it and you're in like the heat of the moment at Worlds, like that's not the time to be doing your learning, right?
Have you ever seen a 14 act Ewok on Hemmed In? It's terrifying if you haven't and you don't know how to deal with it until it happens. Yeah. Speaking from experience. Yeah. I mean, like, it's going to make things like that happen, which, you know, might be healthy, if, but it's going to make it a lot harder to justify spending all the cash to go.
There's definitely a fine line that we have to walk, right? Sorry, Tim. I think I cut you off a little bit there.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fair enough. I definitely think, like, the format is making me consider, you know, my, you know, I've been playing Yoda Star, as many people are aware lately. I would maybe even say it's still the best list. It is definitely maybe the most flexible list, but it's definitely got matchups that you just don't want to play at all. And 9 rounds is a lot of rounds to fade not playing one of those matchups. And there are lists out there that I think, you know, feel differently than that, you know. I don't know. So I'm definitely thinking about like, maybe I'm going to play something different.
I'm actively planning on Rebels at this point.
Crazy.
Which is, if you had told me that like six weeks ago, I'd have laughed you out of the room.
Yeah. What are you thinking about, Tim?
Truthfully, with how much time I have, there is a decent chance I bring my literally identical list from last year and see if it runs the gambit again.
See, that's one of the lists that I don't want to play with the Yoda list, which, you know.
What did you play last year?
Situational shenanigans.
Was it like Luke SA spam?
No, it was Anakin, Padme, a bunch of clones of the SA. Yeah.
It was dodging Critville, which I gotta say, I'm way too close to it to like not be biased. At this point, I don't know if it's healthy for the game. I don't know if it's balanced, but I hate it. I hate the idea that you can dodge crits. I don't know.
It's a fun time.
It's
fun for one player.
It is fun for one player. I think instances of it in small amounts, like barrier, being able to like deal one crit and like using like protector to do it like once, is fine. I think the idea that you can just dodge like everything all the time is not fun.
The anecdote that agrees with that is I was playing LVO, I think, last year, where someone had Boba Fett, and they like lined up a shot and went, okay, how many dodges did that guy have access to? 5. That guy? 5. That guy? 5. Well, I guess I just move and hide again. Because Boba Fett has 5 dice. And it was like, it's one of those like, as you're playing the list, like, haha, yay, it works. But also, it's tough.
I mean, sometimes those lists, like, really fall apart. Like, once you're out of dodge tokens and they are, like, still shooting you, you're like, this doesn't feel great, right?
Yeah. I mean, and if you had watched the entire turn coming out of that, like, I always, when I'm facing lists that have pierce, save the dodges for the pierce shots.
Yeah.
Right? So I had been making save for that on things that I could have dodged because he was shooting critical, like T21Bs. But still, it does feel bad when it's like a shot where, yep, literally can't do it.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I just, they're tough games to play. Yes, Sam, I'm looking at you. Anyhow, I don't know how I got on that topic. You're playing it, Tim. That was how we got there. You're considering
time, like, for painting aside, like, Rebels, I think, is not the worst play. I would be definitely between Gar and Rebels would be the two factions that I would consider playing right now.
I guess in that vein, I know that on the last episode of Scoundrels, they talked a bit about faction balance and how I think the only factions that were represented at PAX's top eight were Rebels and Gar. Mike, correct me if I'm wrong about that. But
that is correct.
I think that's correct.
It is.
Do we feel like that is representative? The reason I ask to some degree is because I feel like the East Coast at this juncture is a little bit skewed in that it is kind of, for lack of a better term, like Republic HQ over here.
So, yes, it is a little Republic HQ. But I think you could also make a pretty valid argument that the East Coast also has the strongest collection of consistent winners across the United States.
That's fair.
And correct or not, those players tend to lead the meta, whether or not that meta is actually the best or not. And the majority of us are playing Gar.
Yeah.
Because it gives us the best chance to win a one-off game. It's very difficult to win and the best chance to win not only a one-off game, but a consistent stretch of games. It's pretty easy to win one-off games with CIS. It's pretty difficult to win four games in a row with droids because you are going to run into at least one or two hard counters and then you have to outplay them. It's very difficult to win four games in a row as Empire these days because you're going to run into at least one or two Gar lists, and Gar Pierce and crit dodging just obliterates Empire. And I think that's why a lot of players have kind of shifted towards Gar, because you have that option, you have that flexibility, that level of consistency to keep your floor higher than, you know, going 2 for 10 on saves, because you have the dodges, you have the surges. And I think that's why you've seen the East Coast shift towards that. You know, it's hard to go to an East Coast event and play casually. You kind of have to sweat your dick off a little bit, like for better or worse. Like if you want to go 2-1, like you have to try. You can't bring a joke list and do it, because that's where a lot of the good players reside. Not to say that the West Coast or Central is not strong. There's just a very high concentration on this side of the country, from top to bottom.
I always try and, you know, like for instance, when I was playing Kyle at PAX, I was like, these Rebels seem pretty good. and obviously Rebels are, it seems, kind of taking seat number two behind Republic. But if you asked me 2 months ago where I thought Rebels were in the meta, it was not second, it was not third, it was not fourth, and it certainly was not first. It was dead last. I'm including Shadow Collective as like a fifth bucket, which I actually think are better than Rebels. I think Shadow Collective or Ghost Town number two here, but that's just me. I think not enough people are trying Kentucky Dan's list from Nova or something similar to it.
You just hate dodges.
I don't hate dodges. I use dodges all the time. I play Padme Amidala in every list ever. How could I hate dodges, Tim?
I think the only... I do think that the comment of Rebels being dead last is definitely not wrong, per se, a couple months ago. I think we were pretty clear for a while that Rebels had a very, very strong archetype. And that archetype was really good, but the rest of the faction was not necessarily balanced. It's very easy to make a tear bad rebel list. It's very difficult to make a very strong rebel list, but the ones that you do find are pretty competitive. And I do think players have explored a little bit more with rebels. I mean, we're seeing more variety with some of the, like the Ewoks infused and bringing the FDs in and bringing some of their dodge spam back, you know, as Yoda and Anakin get more popular, Han gets more popular, and that just kind of counterplays the meta to a decently strong degree. But I think the better Gar gets, the better Rebels get, because they have the pure stacking and they always have that Cassian K2 FD base to fall back on if the current anti-meta doesn't work. So we're still seeing that. But, you know, the more Gar, the more Rebels you'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think I used to feel that the kind of answer solution to the Republic lines were more in like Iden's wheelhouse than Cassian's overall. Like Cassian was like a good like one-off solution, but he wasn't like a list archetype that you brought probably like more than 6 months ago. But now it just feels like the Cassian sniper, you know, you get Chewie in there sometimes and makes it really difficult to interact with.
Yeah, I think the Iden list just gets tough because with the way that kind of Padme has come back into the Republic meta, as soon as the Empire lists engage at range 3, they just die. And the Rebel lists with the FDs and Cassian do not have to get to 3. They can play at 5, they can play at 4, and by the time that they get to 3, it's turn 4, turn 5, and like you can't kill enough of me in a turn and a half. Sometimes. Yeah.
The crit 2 on the vet gun as opposed to the crit 1 on the T21 all of a sudden is like a super big deal.
Yeah.
it's actually crazy how big a deal it was. And just the amount of critical in those lists overall is gnarly. I remember it again, it packs the last turn of my game against Kyle, like it felt pretty sealed up. It was like I had 4 health on my Yoda left. And he was like, I'm pretty sure my only out is to shoot you with my Mark II and roll 4 crits. What does he do? Rolls 4 crits on his Mark II because he's got, is it critical 2 on those things? I think it's
critical 2.
Yeah. It was like 2 surges and 2 natty crits. And I was just like, this is not how my day is going to end. But Yoda saved out of it. You know, he only took a wound, which is like pretty average in that situation. But to maybe turn that full circle, if that happens to your worlds, you're gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But like that's also not that far out of the question. Clones don't mind rolling 1 of 1, they do mind rolling 2 of 2.
Yeah.
That burns through your tokens real fast.
Very fast. So yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. The meta, I think, will be heavily impacted by the world's format, and we'll see how that kind of ends up panning out, I guess. But hopefully the powers that be maybe are listening and hear us cringing in horror, and we'll do it differently next year. I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, with all that said, I will still be there. I'm still going to play. I'm going to adapt to the situations that we have. It's not my favorite. I've played in a lot of Legion events that are not my favorite format in the past. I will not stop now. But I do hope that they take community feedback into effect because I have not seen a lot of people say that this is their preferred format compared to ones we've had in the past. So hopefully it is received. Hopefully it's registered and we adapt for next year.
Yeah. As long as we're moving forward, I'm okay with it. Speaking of moving forward and maybe turn into a more positive note, let's I guess talk about
what a segue here. Yeah. What a transition.
Right? What a podcast host.
I do what I can, guys. I do what I can. let's talk about what your aspirations are for next year and maybe relation to how your year this year went. If one of you would like to start to volunteer, you can. Otherwise, I can go first.
You're the host.
Okay. This year for me was frankly, as far as Legion goes, pretty awesome. I feel like I've had a pretty blessed Legion experience in my tenure in this game, and this year was kind of like, we really were able to like build a local scene to the point where like it was like really cool. I had never won a tournament that was like bigger than a local until this year, and this year I won 2. One of them being Invader League, the other one being Crucible against Mr. Mike Cirillo here.
Hence the finger.
Sorry, buddy. So I really I feel like I kind of like turned a page in my play overall from like going to I've always sort of like felt like my play has been like pretty strong. This year it felt more consistent, I guess. And I think part of that was kind of committing to kind of like a play style and stuff. So I think for me going into next year, what I kind of want to do as far as Legion is concerned is I really want to just stay consistent. I feel like I'm in a good place. I feel like I'm in like a pretty a well-practiced place. I'm getting like multiple games in every week. I'm, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit in beast mode at the moment. So I really just like, I don't want to like, I would love to win worlds, but and aspirationally, that is a thing that I would like. But that is also, that's more of like a you eventually somebody's gonna have to be Luke. I don't know who it's gonna be. I hope it's me. We'll see what happens. But I definitely, I think knowing the world's format and stuff, I'd like to make day two. And I think just going into 2024, I just would like to continue to be consistent. And I think I've placed in the top eight at every major tournament I've went to this year. I think. And I think I would like to just kind of like hold to that. You know, I took second at LVO, first at Crucible, top eight at PAX, won Invader League. Man, all these things. And I want to like keep on that rhythm is my goal for next year. So, who would like to go next?
Tim, I can go if you want to take a minute to think or
Sure,
if you have your ideas
sure.
set. Sure.
I mean, I might. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it then.
Okay. It was a fun year. Loved meeting a whole bunch of people. Met people through this hobby from all over the world at Worlds last year. Got top eight, which was pretty cool. Got stomped by a blizzard, so that was fun.
As did we all. Yeah.
Did well at LVO too and lost because I did this instead of that.
Also against me.
Also against Mike. But no, it was a good year. My local scene finally has quite a bit of inertia behind it. I've had a very busy year not in gaming as well. So there was many times where I'd not be at my local committee for a month, but they kept it going strong. 8 to 10 players every week, which was unthinkable to me when we started it up. I was hoping to get at least two tables running every 2 weeks, and now it's 4 to 6 or 4 to 5 tables every week now, so hurrah. And then in the year to come, the only confirmed tournament I'm going to right now is in the UK. I'll be at the UK Grand Expo
Okay.
because Mr. AGS, he invited me on a whim, and then I am now going to stay at his house. So, that's first weekend of June. So I will be there. So if anyone is there and wants to buy a beverage for me, I will gladly accept it.
There's actually a small chance I'm at that one as well. I will be in Europe at that time, so
Oh,
I'm
that'd be
debating
cool.
making the trip over.
When,
You should.
sorry, when is this happening? Do I need to fly out there and
The first week of June.
first week of June. That's far
It's,
enough
yeah.
away that I could technically make
I'll be in the
that
Netherlands that week, so I'm debating getting over
happen.
to England for that.
Okay. I
But
suspect I'd need to renew my passport, but I think I
I probably, yeah. You all made that very clear. You'd have to renew a passport in like 1767 or whatever the year was.
Hey, man. Sometimes rebellions are built on not paying taxes.
Yeah,
Don't tell
so
Pennsylvania
the
that.
year to come looks good. Hope to see some old friends from afar and see some new friends from afar. Yeah, over to the last mic. Go for it.
I think I'd like to just kind of continue the momentum I built over the last couple of months. I pretty publicly hated this game for a while.
Yeah, you did.
I did. I feel like over the last 4 months, I've kind of rediscovered a spark for playing through just a level of consistent playing, finding a list that's enjoyable to me, and kind of having the meta shift towards a play style I enjoy. I've done pretty well at events since I've come back to playing. So I'd like to continue to get the games in at the local store, continue to help build the community that we have there and just keep playing tournaments. PAX is my worst placing. And that placing was arguably only because I dropped after day one after a wild night the night before and just kind of wanted to go home.
That was...
which I don't know. I think is justified, but it's hard, it's hard to say without being there.
I think it's justified. I listened to, I think, a little bit of the episode that they didn't talk about it. That is the most unsafe I've felt in a very long time.
Yeah, it was me and Kyle on the episode. Okay. Yeah, it was a night, and I was just wanted to go home. Yeah. So other than PAX, like, I've done very well. I've won two tournaments. I've got second. I've got second to Crucible, so like I've done pretty well. I feel like I've earned my invites. I only missed top eight at Nova on the fourth tiebreaker against Nick, so like I feel pretty good about that, and I'd like to just kind of keep that going. Not thrilled about the Worlds concept. It's really my next tournament that I'm going to, but you know, I'm gonna game plan hard for it. I'm gonna prep for it. I've got a couple localish slash Golden Spruce style tournaments lined up to, you know, to get like 15 tournament reps ahead of time. And that's my big plan. I just want to keep the energy going. It's been a while since I've had fun, and I'm having fun, and I'd like to keep that going, keep the play style.
I'd like it to keep going for you too, because I have more fun when you're around and having fun. So
yeah, we get all like all the same events together. It's cool to like stay together and shit. And stuff. But yeah, that's my big goal for next year is I'd like to make day two. I wasn't able to make day two last year. I had a couple unfortunate events keep me from day two, through a couple of dice luck and then really just poor decisions and terrible rule changes with payload, but c'est la vie. I'd like to see payload get reverted. Nobody plays that anymore, but that's probably one of the reasons why. But yeah, I'd like to make day two. I'd like to make a splash, keep my credibility essentially, and just, you know, kind of keep going, have fun, and hold out until we actually get a batch of new releases, because I'm tired of playing with the same units, and I'd like to see like the Clone Commanders and or Clone Commandos and Bad Batch and Inquisitors and things just shake things up, whether it's positive or negative. You know, I'd like to see some new stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
I mean, I think at this point we might get Inquisitors before Worlds.
With the Geonosians getting moved up, I think it is not likely, but very, very possible that we see Inquisitors for Worlds.
I dare say they might be Empire's only hope.
I think they are Empire's only hope.
I don't know. I've played against them a bunch at this point. I'm not sure that I think that they are busted units. I think that they're probably fine in this meta.
I think they will be fine because players won't have time to figure out the busted aspects of them. If we get Inquisitors, we're probably only talking about 3 weeks worth of actual tabletop time to see what they can do. And I find it unlikely that we're going to find the A tier, S tier list for Inquisitors in that 3 week period. It took us a while to find what works well for Gar. I mean, 501st was out for a long ass time before we figured out like what worked well with the multiple arcs. Yoda Padme were out for a long time before we figured out they were a good combination. I do not think that we'll find the busted Inquisitor lists in the 3 week period before Worlds.
Are you subtly hinting that it's my job to find it because those are the two things that I did?
If that helps your ego, yes.
Okay.
But I think as a community, I would be pleasantly unsurprised if we found the busted Inquisitor list in 3 weeks.
I agree. I will say though that I know many people that are playing them right now.
Myself included. I've tried about four or five different iterations, and I think I've got a pretty good one, but I don't think it's the list.
I think that's my issue when I say that I think they're sort of fine in the meta. I haven't found a list where I'm like, this is the shell that feels good around them yet. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, the Inquisitors feel good. They feel powerful. They definitely are good units. I just have not found, you know, 550 points of stuff that I also feel good about putting around them.
And that's because Empire is shit.
Are yeah. they though?
Yes.
Yes. The thing is, like, I don't know.
I should say that anything outside of Dark Troopers is terrible for them. Like, there's not the things that Empire does well are not things that mesh well with 250 to 300 points worth of units. Because the things that Empire does well are already 250 to 300 points in and of themselves.
So. Look, I'm going to go back to basics here real quick. I think the, like, 12 activation, like, bounty hunter-esque list that you and Luke brought to Worlds last year is still really good, but nobody's playing it.
Yeah, don't talk about it, because I'd like to keep that in my back pocket there. You watch your mouth there.
Okay, all right. Look, we came up with a list of things that we couldn't talk about. That wasn't on there. There it is. She's keeping it a secret from me too, guys. but I mean, like, I don't know. Empire still. The thing about Empire is that Empire doesn't change, really. Like Dark Troopers, obviously, were, like, a little different. But overall, Empire lists, like, outside of the, you know, the Blizzard and the Dark Troopers, like, the good Empire lists are still the same good Empire lists that we had, like, 3 years ago. The triple sniper, like, double bounty. I don't know.
The only thing that I will say with that is they are the same list, but they don't function the same because it's harder to take advantage of their activation count.
No doubt.
And now that snipers die differently, it really changes, I think, how you play those lists, because you used to just be able to throw the snipers forward, get the high velocity shots to start with, and now you can't. Because, like, they're just going to die.
It's less attrition. You're going to lose the attrition battle more often. It's more, you're looking at kind of, like, skill shoddy stuff, I think. I don't know if that's the right term, but.
Gets it across.
Yeah. Anywho, I'm starting to feel like we're rambling a little bit. Do you guys want to add anything to the topics that we've hit today? Tim.
My mind is starting to think about all the things I need to pack still. So.
Oh, because you're getting on a plane in, like, 6 hours. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I am getting on a plane for 2 weeks in 6 hours, and I still have a whole suitcase to pack because I'm bringing so much stuff. So.
You're bringing your miniatures?
Nope. I'm bringing a fiddle, a laptop, and all the things I need for, an engineering conference, man, which is,
I hate flying with instruments. It's miserable, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry. You said fiddle.
Yeah.
Can we go back to that? I mean, we're sort of in the middle of it. And how have I never heard you play the fiddle? I feel like we've been at events together many.
Well, times. I haven't had a fiddle at Legion things because it turns out the case of miniatures operates the same level of things as the fiddle does, so it's kind of one or the other. But I fiddle's my main instrument, and then I also play, like, 8-ish total instruments.
Okay, so what you're saying is we're gonna need to find a fiddle shop in Chicago and make that happen.
Or here's another draw for you to come to the UK. I will have my fiddle in the UK.
Okay,
because I will have just come out at Ireland, which I am definitely taking my fiddle to. So
apparently we need to hang out more. We can be a two-man band.
There you go.
You can see some of my influences on the wall, and to the right is, like, my entire music store in my basement.
Fifth Trooper goes on tour. See him at the UK Games Expo.
I don't know, man. If you guys censor me for this podcast, I don't think you want my band.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. I suspect I have a feeling what the type of music you make sounds like.
Yeah, you probably are correct.
Yes, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Well, hopefully that wasn't too much of a downer for everybody today. We definitely needed to talk about the Worlds format. It is important. I want to stress that, like, this is not about, like, making people feel bad about it or anything of that nature. I think it's just important that we talk about these things and get them in the open.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, just to add on at the end. Like, support your TOs. Support John Griffin specifically, because I know he's the world's TO. Like, it's not their decisions. They're the ones running it. Like, help them have a smooth event. Do not make them feel bad. If you don't like them, if you, or sorry, if you don't like the format,
Oh,
don't tell them. Like, it's not their fault. Like, enjoy the format, play your games, have a good time. Submit your feedback to AMG. I know they have a website. Like, you can contact them if you want to. Like, do not take it out on the people running the events. It is not their fault. Show up, have a good time, be polite, do your best. Like,
I would say, in addition to that, if you're gonna submit feedback, and I'm gonna be doing this as well, I would not only submit it to AMG, but I think letting Adepticon know how you feel about it as well is also useful. They are, I don't know how many of those side events are like, there's like a weird branding for like Adepticon run side events this year. I don't know if any or some are Adepticon branded, but Adepticon definitely has sway over like what they allow at their event. And I suspect many of them, the people that are organizing that, probably don't really have a hand in Legion. They're just like event organizers. They probably just got like a docket of stuff that they needed to organize, right? So giving them feedback that, hey, we don't like the way that we did it this year, would be good.
and constructive feedback. Yeah.
Constructive feedback.
And
Yes.
polite feedback. Like, being an ass does not solve anything and only makes it worse.
For sure. I think, all too often it's easy for us nerds to get our angry nerd hats on. I do.
To get our beards in a tizzle.
Yeah.
Rah!
But at the end of the day, we're playing with little army men, and that are cool, no doubt. But we are playing with toys, and it is fun, and we need to make sure that we continue to find the fun in it. So,
We're somehow having fun. What is this?
I mean, all the fun. If you're not having fun, go find a different game.
Yeah.
I don't want you
Oh,
here.
it's what I kept saying. Once it was like top 32 of Worlds last year, I kept saying to people, we're having fun here.
Having
We're here to have
fun.
fun.
We're having fun.
As you're
This
sweating
is
buckets off.
fun. I'm having a good time. I swear.
At
So,
least we're not 40K.
Yeah, right? You could always be worse.
now, constructive
I
feedback only here,
thought
chaps.
that was constructive.
Okay, all
That
right. With that, we are the Notorious Scoundrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Timbo.
I'm Mike as well.
All right, have a good one. Stay fresh, cheese bags.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry
Happy New
Christmas.
Year.
Have a Happy New Year. Stay safe.
Don't come to Philly.